Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally O'Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. I'm going to pick up my first caller right away. The show is called Spray What? Are You Sick Post-Rally? Call in at 6 p.m., and the number, of course, is seen by those who are calling in. Hello, this is Sally. Who's this?
This is Lisa Madero.
Well, Lisa Madero, you are my co-host today. Surprise!
Thank you for having me.
I know that you're still ill, and I want you to tell people. We had a conversation last time. I heard you had you were tearing at the rally. Your eye sockets hurt. You I don't remember all these headaches. Big headaches. Talk to us. How are you doing now?
I'm still very not well. This morning when I tried to leave my house, I still am hacking a lot of green phlegm. I have a lot of issues. I mean, I'm nowhere near where I was prior to what it it happened. I still have headaches, and usually by the this time of the end of the day, if I have not taken any pain medication, I'm just wanting to crawl somewhere and hide, you know, because the pain and the headaches have been very, very severe, and it's kind of been scaring my family because, you know, they're like thinking I'm going to drop dead of an aneurysm or something. But the headaches have been bad. The eye socket pain still is there. The ear pressure is definitely still there. It's definitely, I didn't think about it until sometime after the rally, but my husband about 20 years ago is a hazmat certified. He got into a chemical inhalation accident at work. And after all this was kind of sinking in, what had happened to me and the way I felt being sick-wise, and I realized this is a different kind of sickness than I've recalled have had in my lifetime. So I told my husband, I said, I know now this is chemical, you know, pneumonia, like he had over like 20 years ago. So it's definitely what it feels like to me, never having been exposed to something like that before. My best opinion would definitely call it like a chemical pneumonia for me, you know.
Well, there wasn't just lithium. There was another component that one of the people who was there listed. But right now I'm going to pick up another caller.
Okay.
Sit tight there, Lisa.
Okay.
Hello, welcome. Who's calling?
Kelly
Gallagher.
Hi there.
Oh, Kelly,
there.
I'm
How
so glad
doing?
You called in. You had said that beyond lithium, there was another element that had been sprayed, I noticed. Can you repeat that?
Well, I was told that it was diphtheria and lithium that was sprayed, and that there is a consideration of a lawsuit going on right now. I don't really know the details
diphtheria?
Of that. But
diphtheria?
I said diphtheria.
Oh, my.
There were pentagrams. There was so much spraying in the sky that day. I came, you know, late. I was in Atlanta. I was here for medical treatment because I'm a 5-time cancer survivor powered by my 6th pacemaker and a new heart valve. And I was here for lymphedema treatment when the VAX tour came to town. As you know, I'm one of the co-producers. So I was excited that they were all going to be here. But that morning, I got a little paranoid. I thought, you know what? This is a perfect place. We gather, they spray. And I went late.
Right.
And I wasn't there the whole day like the rest of them from 7 o'clock in the morning till 2. I came around 11, and I had my big camera. And as I approached there, the spraying in the sky was so bad that I chose to, like, circle the perimeter a few times with my camera and check out what was going on and, you know, see the amount of police that they had out there and just witnessed this massive, massive spraying. And, you know, normally in the old days, the chemtrails kind of like were sprayed and it took them a while to float to the ground. But these things looked like they were like spraying and almost like a net coming down on people's heads.
Oh,
so I was only there from 11 till about 1, and I was kind of in and out. And I kind of stayed in the perimeter and interviewed some people, but I wasn't out there the whole time. And even so, I had the worst headache. I never get headaches. And I felt like I had Teflon in my throat, like I had some kind of spray in my, some kind of coating on my, in my mouth and a taste in my mouth. It was just weird. So,
now, Lisa Darrow is on. She's my co-host today. She was with me on the first interview where people, Kathleen Colfer-Saravalli, said that her hands were very clammy. She was extremely thirsty. Lisa has had a myriad, I don't know if you heard, well, when you called in, of the many reactions Lisa has had.
Right.
Among them was very severe thirst. Dehydration is a symptom of lithium. So, Lisa, say hi to Kelly Gallagher, the co-producer of Vaxxed.
Hello.
Hi. Hi there. I'm sorry
that happened to you.
Go ahead.
I know. It's very terrible. It happens to all of us. It
explains, you know, I went to go, I have iron toxicity, so every month I have to have a phlebotomy. And I went in to go get this phlebotomy where they take a pint of blood out and they throw it away. They could not get an IV line into me. I've been twice with three nurses, five stabs, 2 days, you know, this week, and nobody could get an IV line into me. So it's interesting you mentioned dehydration. I didn't even consider that.
Well, I just had a full hysterectomy in mid-August. And so when I was there, I started feeling very thirsty and just kind of like not well. And I told my husband, I said, we got to go somewhere because I'm not feeling well. And I just thought at the time that it must have been, you know, hysterectomy related. But the one thing I recalled, and the same thing happened when I went to the restaurant, all the way to the car, I kept drinking everybody's water. I've never done that before. And then I noticed when I got to the restaurant, I mean, I ordered all my food, my soup, my salad, and everything, and I literally had the man running back and forth and filling up water, and that's all I wanted was water. And I even ordered water to go. I've never done that in a restaurant, never. And I just kept telling them, like, I'm very, very dehydrated. And so I was actually not feeling well enough to go to the evening thing at the Sheraton, but I just said, I came all this way. I've got to go no matter how out of it I am. And but the whole time I was at the Sheraton, I kept buying water and drinking water as well.
And also you were tearing. So you were losing water by the fact that you were tearing constantly, right? Lisa?
I had tears, but I did, you know, I think the tearing actually started when I noticed it the most. If it was tearing prior to this, I don't recall. I just know on my drive back from Atlanta to Oklahoma that I had my left eye, both eyes were tearing, but the left eye was like continuous. And I thought, that's never happened to me in my entire life. Never. So that was really odd too. And my car has my, where I can talk to the speakers. And so I'm talking to my mom and in California on my way home. And I said, Mom, on my head. My mom was just worried. She kept calling to check on me because she knew I was saying things that I had not said ever to her. And she was really concerned. And she can tell that I really meant that I really did not feel well. And I told her, I'm really not well enough to drive home, but my husband can't drive sick because he has a broken ankle. So I had no choice but to drive home. But I actually was struggling very hard to drive.
Well, I know that Christine Hildebrand said that if you test for lithium, the test would only be good 24 hours after you were exposed. But she just got tested for it. And this was sprayed on October 14th. What's today's date?
Wait, is she still in Atlanta?
No, she's not. She stayed and she addressed the CDC and really made a... I hope you've seen that video. If you haven't, I'll send it to you or I'll post it under the link. But, yeah, that was very interesting. I'll tell you what transpired there. But she said the day after and right through the 20th, right through the 19th when she did speak, there were no spraying whatsoever, just on that day, just during that time.
Wow. Well, they've been spraying. I'm still in Atlanta, and they've sprayed some scary days out here. I was really excited when I first was out here because I was like, oh wow, I'm not in Los Angeles. They're not spraying, and they wouldn't possibly spray here because they would be spraying the Center for Disease Control. But they apparently don't care, and they are spraying here, and they're spraying a lot. And
they
were spraying lithium over LA, and they've been spraying lithium for a while. but not to Syria.
During the rally last year, they had a truck, an unmarked truck, spraying around the building as if it were spraying the building. But in fact, people had to go home from the rally last year from the spraying.
I recall that. Hmm. I recall
they were spraying
that
at ground level. You know, say that
yes.
again. Yes.
Wow.
Well, you know who said something?
I wasn't there last year.
I wasn't there
right,
last
but
year, but I recall.
It's interesting that 2 years running, they're using the same modus operandi. They're just spraying from the air this time and sickening people. I mean, people literally had to go home.
Wow.
Wow.
Well,
yeah.
What Kelly said about it feeling like a net, the funny thing is, and, you know, I live in California most of the time, so I know that we have a lot of chemtrails out in California. And the thing that I did notice when I looked up, it did feel like a low ceiling, and it did feel like a claustrophobic kind of feeling. And I suffer from claustrophobia. But I recall thinking that, not saying it to anyone, but I remember looking up and thinking, wow, that's really close. And I never had felt that way before when I've seen other chemtrails.
The sky is falling. Did you feel a dry rain? Because I've experienced that. Chemtrails so thick that they actually did fall from the sky like a dry rain, and it was like little tiny trickles on your skin. Stepped in from under an overpass, it stopped, and when I stepped out again, but you couldn't see it. It was so fine.
Oh, wow.
Well, I think that's what I was kind of that was what I was explaining about how I felt like I had this Teflon coating in my throat. It was kind of like this dry, like, when the deodorant, like the Secret or whatever, the dry, like it's almost like I had a diluted version of that in my throat, you know, like deodorant or something. Gross. It was awful. Yeah. And I was thirsty too. It's interesting you said that. I wasn't, I wasn't out there that long, but who's going to talk?
No, I'm just saying now is 2 weeks later. You have been suffering
symptoms
now.
No, but I'm talking about that night. You know, we went from the from the CDC to later that night. There was a viewing of Vaxxed at the Radisson downtown with the Nation of Islam. And when I got there, I was really thirsty. And I was like, I didn't bring my water bottle in. And I was like, just like dehydrated, but I couldn't stop because I was shooting for, you know, Periscope or whatever I was doing. I couldn't take a break. But now that you were talking about how thirsty you were, I was like, wow, maybe that was why I was so thirsty. I was only out there for 2 hours as opposed to everybody else out there for seven.
Mm-hmm. And normally, like being at the beach or being from the desert where I'm at, if I'm outdoors and drinking all day, I'm usually having to run to the bathroom. I don't recall having to run to the bathroom. I just recall being of excessive thirst. So that was really strange to me, you know.
What I don't understand is why the people that believe in climate change don't understand geoengineering and this spraying from the sky, and why isn't the green movement stepping up and speaking about this?
I know.
I think the whole Green Party, and I hate to say this, but I really do believe that they are there to forward the Green Movement, which is the, you know, climate change movement. And the fact that when you present this, if you go to any of their rallies and you present them with information about chemtrails, they reject it as if you were talking about vaccines. How about that? As part of... you know, this could be causing it. In fact, if you look at a post I put on the mayor page, you'll see, all the things that are contributing to the problems of the world, and they're not, none of them are what they're claiming they are. They're all man-made. But they're not, man is not the problem, but the men who are making it are the problem. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I don't know if Christina is calling in, but I want to say that she had a test, I guess about maybe a week after she was initially sprayed, because she just got back the results. And even though lithium is only supposed to stay in your system a blood test in your blood for 24 hours, she tested positive for lithium many days after, not 24 hours, many days after.
Wow.
See, I was confused when I was hearing about it, about when we were supposed to get tested. And I was assuming that we were supposed to get tested like a week or two later on. We have not got tested, but we have seen a doctor so that we could start doing the foot detox. And I've never done it before, but when I explained to them that we needed to detox metals, then they suggested that we come in for that. We just haven't started it yet. We'll probably start next week. But we need to go in still and get our blood work done. But I was kind of under the assumption that we waited a few weeks and got our hair and then our blood tested, but I wasn't quite sure how all this worked.
Well, you know, I wish I knew. I haven't done any testing, and I live in Queens between two airports, so we are pretty well covered, our skies constantly. So I remember a week of clear skies thinking, it's over. The New World Order is over. It's official. It's a whole week, you know? And, no, of course, the minute I said that, back came the chemtrails. But I've never tasted anything funny. I've never been dehydrated. But I'll tell you, when I cry, if something affects me and I cry, my eyes burn. Oh, does that burn? And I don't know why, but I do sneeze when I come in from outside. If I'm just inside, I'm fine. If I go outside and I come back in, I'm sneezing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But what you're saying, too, Sally, about the chemtrails, I mean, I'm constantly exposed to them in California all the time and in my travels as well. And I'm outdoors. I'm an outdoors person. And I have not ever recalled having these symptoms ever. And it would just be like, oh, they're spraying. You know, I wonder what it is. And, you know, it would just be in the back of my mind. But I never felt any effects of it that were ever noticeable to me until this happened.
So 2 weeks later, you still have a headache.
You still have
a headache? Lisa, you still have
for
a
me,
headache 2 weeks
yes.
later?
Yes, I still have headaches. I'm sick. Probably what's getting me really concerned is sometimes when I'm talking, I'm not saying what I'm thinking. I'm having speech issues where my words are not coming out clear. And I notice, like, sometimes when I'm trying to type on my phone, or on the computer, I noticed that I can't even spell simple third grade words. And I'm just like, and I keep asking family members questions that they just look at me like, why are you asking me such a simple thing like that? And I'm like, I just have to be sure. And they're like, well, since when do you ask a simple question and have to be sure? So they've kind of made fun of me a little bit. And I'm like, no, I'm not kidding. I just need to know, you know, and they're like looking at me like, okay, but they kind of didn't take it that seriously, I don't think, because they kind of thought they were making fun of me a little bit. But it's kind of got me concerned that I'm having some issues with memory and simple elementary things.
So you're totally disoriented, it seems like. I mean, I was
at times, yes.
I was going to...
Yeah, at times. And I just got out of bed just the last few days. I was actually bedridden the entire time. And other than them bringing me, you know, soup and water and juice to drink and vitamins as well, I was craving cilantro. And it was just like they kept wanting me to eat something nourishing. I'm like, I want cilantro. And so I kept telling them, bring me some salsa. Yeah, I just wanted salsa the whole time. And that was my main meal each day when I wouldn't even hardly eat. And it would be just totally salsa with, they would just make it homemade, and they would throw. My daughter would throw in a whole bunch of it, like just chop the entire thing up and put it in there. And so, yeah, I definitely have been craving the cilantro. And today, the last 2 days, I got out to go shopping, and as soon as I get into the store, I have to sit down and rest. And so, my husband kind of joked and said, "Well, you need to drive one of these things around." And I'm like, "Let me just rest a bit." But I am realizing I don't have the energy, and I know, like, I don't have full air in my lungs. I probably, because of all the congestion in my lungs. So I think that's where the lightheadedness and the dizziness is definitely coming from. But, yeah, I'm hoping this starts to go away soon because it's getting really old. I mean, because it's what, been about 2 weeks now. So this is definitely one of the sicker times I've ever been in my entire life. And I have allergies to antibiotics since I was a child, and I have definitely bad allergic reactions. So I try to always stay away from antibiotics just because I'm allergic to them. So, you know, I try to do as much natural as I can and try to tough it out. But thank God I didn't get any, like, high delirious fever or anything like that. Had I got something like that, then I probably would have ran to the doctor and said, okay, you better help me now. But I just tried to do everything naturally.
Well, this is why I wanted Kathleen on the show, because she has improved dramatically, and I wanted to ask her what she's been doing. She, of course, has done remarkable things in helping her autistic son, his health improve. So I thought she could contribute to this, but wait till you hear why she can't be on the show. This is really going to infuriate you, but it's infuriating. Her mother was in a nursing home, and they tried to give her a flu shot and an pneumonia shot, and she said, I want none of that, none of that. They made her sign something, and then they said, well, we'll be back with the hepatitis C. So she literally had to drop everything, run over to the nursing home to make sure that her mother was not given the hepatitis C after saying, I want no vaccine, none. That just meant in their minds, you don't want these two, but we're going to make you sign something, and so we're going to give you the hepatitis C. So that poor woman, I said, get her out of there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's around
I don't
the
trust.
They got my
it's getting crazy.
Well, someone, yeah, my sister got into the bathroom. They got my mother, and she had a stroke from the pneumonia, the pneumococcal vaccine. Oh.
I got pneumonia from the pneumonia vaccine.
Mm-hmm. That's what, and I know family members also that have had reactions that are pro-vaccine, and yet they, you know, they don't see things the way I do, but they'll say, oh, I was going to get it anyway. They make an excuse because the doctor tells them an excuse and they believe it. But I have to say, every time I go to a doctor, I'm concerned. I mean, I'm concerned when I had surgery, when I was out, you know, did they do something to me? Because they were ready to give me a vaccine before I went into surgery, and I had robotic surgery. And they were pretty adamant about giving me a tetanus. And I was like, no, you're not giving me a tetanus shot. And so it makes me wonder, what did they do to me when I was out? You know, those things kind of run through my mind. And
the biogenics that you're signing on to when you enter a hospital means they can vaccinate you while you're out. And I just heard a story about a woman who rejected the Hep B vaccine for her child when she woke up, five shots, five doses, while she was sleeping. They said, well, you're not going to protect your baby, so we're going to. And they shot her.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I have to
wonder.
It's getting
we're living on the planet of the apes.
I know. Yeah, it's definitely getting more concerning.
Kelly, tell us about all of the tremendous ride that you have been on, an amazing ride. We would love to hear about it.
Well, I am one of the co-producers of VAC, so I'm not on the bus with Polly and Dell and the gang, but every so often I get to catch up with them, and you know, it's been an incredible honor to be part of this movement, because really, you know, the whole team is out saving babies and sharing stories. And I think sort of bringing together this group of people who have been left behind and forgotten and disenfranchised and dismissed and told that they were bad parents and that their kids are sick because they've got some psychiatric problem. And so to see these people, the tribe, come together and realize that, you know, there are other people like them, you know, not that it takes away from their pain and their burden, but it definitely gives them friends. And they, you know, a lot of them have suffered in silence and at home alone and trying to deal with these kids that, you know, are really have huge needs, and because of the way the medical community doesn't handle them and keeps this as more of a psychiatric problem than handling their medical concerns, you know, there's just, it's been a revolution. And I think that, you know, Vax has really hit a nerve of the government and, you know, apparently the military and the CIA and every other alphabet that would like to have world control, because there would be no other reason. I mean, yesterday there came out of something that we were part of the anti-vaccine cult. I mean, come on. Is a cult really, saving babies cult. Is now a cult? A cult activity? I mean, that's, you know, it's disgusting what's really going on. And I think, you know, when vaccine safety is not the utmost of importance, and we've got really, I'm not even sure we've got humans in charge of the planet. But I have to tell you, I had a very pivotal moment. I was here in Atlanta, and it was the weekend of the rally, and then they had the movie, and then the next day it was Michelle Ford had put on that fabulous summit, and the following day was an event at the Fox Theater for the 21st annual anniversary of the Million Man March. And I had no idea what that really meant. I just know I got a phone call, and Michelle said, you need to be at the VIP entrance at 1:00, and you're coming to the stage. And I was like, what? So I went to the Fox Theater, and I got there, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm in the middle of the Nation of Islam. It's a sold-out show, and Farrakhan, Louis Farrakhan, is going to give a speech and at this big rally. And we were there with Brother Tony Muhammad, and it was been a real blessing to witness that the Nation of Islam has come together with people like Sheila Ely, who's Christian, and, you know, seeing that these groups of people are realizing that, you know, they're not only trying to kill the black boys and the black people, but they're also trying to kill the white people, and they don't care about your race, creed, color anymore. It's all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. we got to be on stage with Louis Farrakhan and a sea of 5,000 people who were there for this event. And then afterwards, we got to meet him. And, you know, it would bring tears to my eyes to feel we were just really honored. And, you know, Dell spoke, and, you know, he was riveting. And Michelle Ford spoke. And I'd never really heard her speak like she spoke that night. And it was riveting, and Marcella Piper Carey got up and spoke, and Brother Tony Muhammad, and, you know, I was on the stage shooting video, because that's, you know, what I've been doing during this this film. But it was a historical moment, and these people know what's going on, and they are speaking out, and they're taking this film on to their people, and they're going to 70 cities to show this film and to continue the march. And, you know, I want to get the Christian churches up on their feet. I mean, why doesn't the Catholic
Amen.
Church have
Amen.
Something yep. to say about this? I mean, it's aborted fetal tissue. If you're so against abortion, then how in the heck can you allow your
mm-hmm.
children to be injected with aborted babies?
Baby.
I mean, what's going on?
Well, I'll tell you the issue I brought to the Catholic Church, because I've been after them for quite some time. I said that the fetal death rate had risen 4,250% associated with the flu shot. And, I haven't gotten any response at all, no matter who I talk to. Finally, I talked to one man recently, and I brought up the issue of vaccines, and I didn't even get to make my point when he bolted like lightning. And I thought, I didn't know priests could run that fast.
It was
so,
a priest that ran.
A priest. He was
really
running. He bolted. He just bolted.
Wow.
It was a conversation. It was wild.
Really?
So, Kathleen Sarabali and I are going to go to St. Patrick's Cathedral together and talk to the people there. You know, that's a major church. And it's not Rome, but it's St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan, you know. And we're going to mm-hmm. talk to them and make an appointment to talk to them. I mean, we're not just going to blow in. But the fact of the matter is, this must be addressed. I look at all the good that Minister Farrakhan has done for his flock, and what the heck is the matter with the Catholic Church?
Well,
yes.
and Farrakhan even said, you know, he said all black leaders are not leading black people the way they should be led. They have been sold out to the white supremacists. So there's a lot of black organizations, and I know this because I have another film in the pipeline right now about mercury and dental fillings, and you know, we were there with the NDA, which is the National Dental Association, and they had no problem putting mercury into the mouths of little tiny black children and then putting silver caps over it with their developing brains. They didn't care less because they've been, you know, they're funded by the same, you know, evil empire
that would like to see
less people on this planet.
The Weston A. Price Foundation is named after a man who is a holistic dentist. Do you realize that?
Oh yeah. Weston
Price?
I bet
they have a lot of good information for you.
Well, I know, yeah, right. We've been working with that foundation for a long time. I'm well aware of that. Well, what's the problem is that the rest of the world's not well aware of that. And the insurance world is, you know, Medi-Cal and Medicaid and all of these different health programs, we're only paying for silver fillings to go into these kids' mouths, and they're not silver. They're 48 to 54% mercury, and they leak mercury at 43 micrograms per day, and mercury is more toxic than lead. So this has been an ongoing, you know, attack on mankind from the mercury in the dental fillings to the GMOs to the vaccines to the chemtrails. It's like, you know, it's eugenics at its finest. And, you know, people think that, well, it's a conspiracy theory. I'm like, you know what? No, it's not. It's a conspiracy. It's no theory. And it is a conspiracy. And there is something at work. And it's really evil. And, you know, why can't they just leave us in peace? What happens to all these babies that die? Like, what happens to these babies that have SIDS and they die? Are they extracting their organs before they give them back to mommy and daddy?
Well,
is that where they're getting
right,
the aborted
yeah.
fetal tissue from? I mean, what sick industry is extracting the aborted fetal tissue? Who are they? Anybody know?
Yeah. Well,
I don't either.
I know Planned Parenthood was exposed as marketing fetal tissue. They were, you know, the recipients of money for fetal tissue. That's
right,
pretty clear,
they were
right?
aborting babies and then selling the aborted fetal tissue. Well, you know who makes
yeah,
the vaccine supply chain, right? You guys aware?
The vaccine, say it again.
The vaccine supply chain is managed by Booz Allen.
We didn't know that.
I don't know who
they are. Yeah, they're defense contractors. And I think they, you know, manage, like, really the world for... the empire. So the problem is it's not going away. It's like saying war is going away. You know, when they invest in tanks and bombs and nuclear warheads and all that, you know, that's an industry. They're not going to go one day, oh, well, we just decided we want to be peaceful. We're not going to make that anymore. We're going to make, you know, balloons. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to these horrific.
Well, you know, I just interviewed Leonard Horowitz. And he's come up with a solution. It was a great interview. I mean, the man is remarkable and has been for eons, you know.
Years.
But,
yes, he's a rock star.
Yeah, but he was saying that he has gotten into something called the music, basically the music of love, the vibration.
The love
of
frequency.
Love.
It's the love frequency.
Right.
Right. Now, he stayed at my house about 8 years ago in Los Angeles for a few days, and he's quite he's interesting. Tell us more.
Well, I'm just saying he can take any music that you have, and you can do it right on his website and convert it to that frequency. And there's another gentleman, I can't remember his name, Greg something, who talks about the frequency of love and how it can affect exponentially and defeat the negative. They want to keep us in a low frequency, you know, and all of these harp towers, and they can literally, you could make 1,000 people commit suicide if it's at the right frequency, you know?
Right.
Wow. So it really does command our emotions and our anger. I mean, the facts alone should anger you. But if that's also at work, you could see where you could wipe out a whole community easily.
Yeah, well, I think that's their their goal. It seems kind of sad, you know, that this is happening in America in the year, you know, 2016, and it just seems like mankind has not evolved at all. The only thing that has evolved is technology.
Yeah.
What do you think about the 12 extra whistleblowers who came out in the mainstream media of all places? While the rally was going on, I think it was the same day.
Well, where are they now?
Well, I don't know. They're not divulging their names, which is interesting. But the Huffington Post reported on it, and I'll send you the article. I'll post it under the screen in the comment area because people need to know. And, you know, people who normally don't listen to me said, well, you don't have to listen to me. You can listen to the Huffington Post. Listen to them talk about 12 more whistleblowers who come out.
Well, I hope it keeps coming out. You know, Polly Tommy is on our Vax tour bus, which has been going across the nation collecting signatures of people who have been vaccine injured, and she's been interviewing all of these families and parents and kids and even adults with vaccine injury. I mean, I had a contaminated polio vaccine, which is why I had Hodgkin's lymphoma, the SV40 virus, and she's been doing an incredible job. And you know, if you guys can go on to their vax.com site and start spreading some of those stories, it's like story after story after story.
Oh, I do. I share at least three of them a day. And
yeah,
I'll tell you, there are over 4,000 signatures. Huh. Over
4,000
signatures. Yeah. Her last interview with
the fellow they still want to consider these people whack jobs instead of clinical evidence of the same story. I mean, normally a study is started because somebody observes something occur, more than one time, and they study, wow, is that a pattern? And, you know, we've got an obvious pattern and we've got an obvious pushback. So, you know, when you go to the history of vaccines and you find out where they were created, really where they were created, was in the military, you know, biological warfare laboratory. And the guy who headed that up was a guy named Wilhelm Merck. So, and that was, I believe, in the 40s or 50s. I'm slipping too, maybe because I got sprayed.
Merck has been around since 1600.
Merck has been around, but the descendant of Merck down to the Merck line, was then tapped to be, you know, run the biological warfare department. So these were, you know, really commercialized by the military. You know, we gave, you know, blankets with smallpox in it to kill off the Indians. This has been going on for a long time. They, that was, I guess, in the 1700s. But these guys, you know, made it official and had him running the military, you know, vaccine department. And there was a girl that came out on Vaxxed, was a military medic, and she said, my job was to give vaccines, and I didn't know what was in them. They didn't tell us what was in them. And one day I met this young man's grandmother, and the grandma was outside the door, and I'd never encountered the family member of one of my soldiers before. And she said that this grandma said to her, my boy's never been this sick since he had a tetanus vaccine. And it was like a poltergeist went through her brain and all of the information connected in her brain. And she realized in that moment that these boys that had Gulf War syndrome didn't have Gulf War syndrome. They were being affected by the anthrax vaccine. Most of the boys that had Gulf War syndrome had never been to the Gulf.
Right. That's
they
right.
Hadn't
the
been to the Gulf War.
Died 3-1 to the deployed soldiers who, this is what I was told by a man who eventually committed suicide, from his reaction to the anthrax vaccine, which goes to the next generation, and I have heard even to the grandchildren.
Well, and it's like they melt. I mean, they're literally, their organs are melting. So it must be the most painful death ever. I can't even imagine. I know I feel like I'm melting from having radiation 30 years ago, and I didn't have this crazy anthrax vaccine. But listen, ladies, I'm going to have to jump off this call. I've got another show I need to jump on in 6 minutes, and I've got to go.
Well,
I'm going to
give you amazing news. I'm going to give you amazing news before you go. You'll never guess, since you don't have time to guess. I'll tell you who's coming to NYU to talk at the hospital there. Dorit Reese.
Paul, my goodness.
And Senator Pence.
And when will that be?
November 21st. We would love the vaxxed bus to show up.
November 21st. Will you send me an email or a message about that? Because
yes, I will.
That would be a fabulous event for. That's crazy. That she's always in my Twitter account. You know, like Twitter. Every time I sign on for Periscope, Dorit Reese is in my Periscope.
Oh.
Yeah.
She was always on me when I was posting too, especially on Kia. I actually got kicked off of Kia. I got kicked off of CDC and Kia, but yeah, she would find me there.
Yikes. Well, listen, ladies, it was an honor to be on your show. Sally, thank you for doing the work that you do. I say thank you from all of the people at Vax, and we really appreciate all of the help and support that you guys give, and it wouldn't be where it is without you. So thank you.
Oh, that was very generous.
Keep going, girls.
I cried when I saw my sister's name on the bus. We don't have a proper memorial because she's buried with 16 people and one of them doesn't have their paperwork. That is the only memorial I have to my sister is on your bus.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I'm so glad that you got to be there and that your sister got to be honored on that bus. I think that bus is going to go in a museum someday. And it
definitely
is.
Will. It will be
and
a museum.
Should. All right.
It will be a museum. Cheerio. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, girls. Bye.
That was Kelly Gallagher of Vaxxed, co-producer and a really remarkable woman. She left a mainstream career to, follow her star. And I'm thrilled that she has. Now, Lisa Madero, we only have 3 minutes left. I am going to hand the show over to you for the last 3 minutes. And I'm assuming Christina Hildebrand couldn't get in because we may have had too many callers. So I apologize to her if that's the case. But please, Lisa, wrap it up, if you will.
Well, you know, earlier you guys had triggered my thinking. When I talked to Brother Tony Muhammad, he had made a comment to me about in the 50s, and I hope I'm saying the story correctly the way I recall it, is in the 50s that the government hired someone, a scientist, to make some type of concoction for African Americans that they could give to the males because they wanted them to be without pain, without feelings, and basically just be numbed and dumbed down and very docile. And one of the things he said was they were afraid of retaliation during the Martin Luther King, it was kind of leading up to the Martin Luther King, time frame. And he told me, he said, that scientist committed suicide. So he kind of told me that, you just kind of have to wonder what they're capable of doing to us when they were capable of that time frame doing what they did,
I was talking during your entire, what you just said, something about Martin Luther King. I don't want to make you restate it because we only have another minute, but Lisa, would you like to tell people some good advice about homeschooling? Should they contact you if they're interested in pursuing that?
I have a lot of medical things that I'm going into a treatment. It's going to be about 8 hours a day. And I have a few other family members who are critically ill right now. So I'm probably not the best person to contact, but I tell everybody to definitely look into Homeschool Legal Defense online, and they have pretty much everything from A to Z as far as what to get started, what your state laws are, and what your state testing is and that kind of thing. And it's very affordable. I also am aware of one, and I think it's called Liberty Heritage, and I have friends who use that one that are very pleased